Okay, tonight, if you open your Bibles to John's Gospel chapter 10, John's Gospel chapter 10, while you're turning that up, I'll just refresh you, because last week we were looking at the theme in our topic, Tuning into God, about communion and fellowship, if you remember, being in fellowship with God. And we come into fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the bases of us hearing from God. You know, we trust and believe His Word, because that's the primary way that God speaks to us. And then we get to know God by communion and fellowship with Him. And in John's Gospel chapter 10, we're going to read just a few verses, starting at verse 3. John 10, we did read these scriptures last week, but we're just going to go back over them again. John 10, verse 3. Says, to him, now this is to him, it's talking about the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, it says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So there Jesus is giving some information about the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd's voice. You know, as we said last week, you know, we are the sheep of his pasture. We are the people of God. The psalmist calls us the sheep of his pasture. We are sheep, and we know his voice. You might say, well, I don't know his voice. Well, the sheep know his voice. We know when God is calling us, when he's leading us. Because the scripture tells us, the sheep hear his voice. It says in verse 5, it says they will, verse 4 it says, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. And then in verse 5, they don't follow the stranger, because they don't know the voice of the stranger. And then again in verse 27, which we didn't read, but if you just look at it now, Jesus says this, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now here Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. They follow him because they know his voice. And that's a familiar voice. I told you last week about my two children, our girls. You know, I don't ask them when they ring on the telephone, I ask them who they are, because I know their voice. They don't have to, Debbie doesn't have to say, hello, Dad, it's Debbie, because as soon as she says hello, I know her voice. It's a familiar voice to me. And the sheep don't follow any voice that's not familiar to them. That's important to know that. The sheep do not follow the stranger's voice, or a voice that they don't know. Why? Because they only follow the voice of the shepherd. So how can we know the difference between the voice of God and other voices? Well, as we saw last week, that comes through fellowship with God. When you spend time with someone, you get to know them. You know their voice. And as God's children, we become familiar with God's voice by spending time with him in prayer, study of the word, just in worship. When we come before him, as we worship him, as we praise him, as we pray, as we seek him, as we read his word, we get to know him. We get to know his voice. And if we allow God to speak to us from his word by the Holy Spirit, then we will certainly know his voice. Because we will know God speaking to us. And this is the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, part of His ministry to us as God's children, is to bring us and to lead us and to guide us into truth, the Scripture says. Amen. Actually, let's turn up those Scriptures. Go to John 14, chapter 14, just a few chapters over. We're going to read one verse from this chapter and then a couple of verses from chapter 16. In John 14, verse 26. Verse 26 says this: "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The Helper. Who is the Helper? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the gift of God, the promise of the Father, whom the Father will send, Jesus said. He promised that His Father would send the Holy Spirit. And He would be a helper to them. He would be a guide to them. He would lead them and teach them all things. And he says, He'll bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Now, I said to you last week, and I'll say it again in case there's any that weren't here last week. You know, when we read the Word of God, there are many scriptures that we don't remember. There are many scriptures, many chapters in the Bible which, for some reason or another, we tend to read them a little faster than the others. Why? Because they may not be very interesting for us as when we're reading. We may not want to know the list of the genealogies of all of the sons and the tribes of Israel. So we might skip over them. Or we might read them very quickly. We may not take them in. We may not give our full attention to these words. But nevertheless, even the fact that we're reading them, the seed is still going in. The word is still being planted in our heart. Even though we may not understand it, it's still being planted. Because there's going to come a day when that seed is going to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be an occasion where you're going to need a scripture. You know, almost it would appear out of nowhere. This scripture will come up out of your mouth when you're witnessing or you're evangelizing or you're sharing your testimony with someone. This scripture will come up out and you'll think, well, where did that come from? Well, I'll tell you where it came from. You planted it in your heart maybe years ago and the Holy Spirit brings it back to your remembrance. He brings it back to your recall for the time when you need it the most. Do you remember Jesus said to his disciples, he said, there's going to come a time when they're going to take you into the courts, and he said, don't worry about what you're going to say on that day, because when the time comes, what's necessary will be brought back to you by the Holy Spirit. You know, He will bring it back. He will inspire you. He will equip you and remind you of certain things. He'll give you exactly what you need, and that's part of His ministry. But His ministry isn't just that, because in chapter 16. So if you go over another couple of chapters to chapter 16, we see a couple of other scriptures here, verses 13 and 14. John 16, verse 13. It says, "However, when he," and notice the Bible here uses the pronoun he, talking about the Spirit of God, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you." You know, the Holy Spirit leads us into the truth. He will guide us into truth. He doesn't speak on His own authority, but He only speaks and shares with us the things that the Father would have Him share. He takes the things of Christ and declares them to us. He takes the things of God and makes them known to us. He will glorify me, Jesus said, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So that's really what we were looking at last week. You know, how the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into the truth. And how if we have that fellowship, that communion with God through the Spirit, you know, we will get to know his voice. So when we read the Word of God, again, I said this last week, you know, the Holy Spirit, just want to say, well, how does God speak to me? Well, this is how God speaks. When we're reading the Word of God, when we're reading the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit will take a word and he will make that word alive. It might make it, it might stand out on the page. It might appear to be bigger than all the other verses around it. But whatever happens, the Holy Spirit will take the word that you need and he will make it known to you. And it will excite you, that particular verse or that particular word. It may only be one word in a verse, but that word, it will just quicken you. It will excite you. And this is God speaking to us. You know, we are hearing from God when this happens. But there is another way the Holy Spirit speaks to us, or God speaks to us. And that's through what we call the inner witness of the Spirit. The inner witness. Now, again, and I'm going to repeat this, as I have done in previous weeks. The Word of God is our benchmark. It's our rule. We do not deviate from the written Word of God. Now, it doesn't matter whether this is a prophetic word being given, it's whether it's a something that you read in a Christian book, or you hear on the media, or you hear preached from the pulpit. If it doesn't agree with this written word, don't listen to it. Have nothing to do with it. It might just be a man's opinion. We go by what God's word says. This is the benchmark. This is the standard by which we measure every so-called word that comes from God. Whether that's through the gifts of the Spirit, whether it's through a vision, whether it's through a dream, or whether it's in a psalm, or it's preached from the pulpit, or whether it's somebody's writing in a good Christian book. Don't just take everything that's said. Measure it up with what God says. Because we can make things up ourselves. We can read things into things that are being said. And if we don't line it up with what God's word says, then we can go very wrong. So this is the benchmark. And what the Spirit witnesses in our inner man must agree with what God's word says. Again, let's go to another scripture. I've got a few scriptures tonight we're going to look at. In Romans chapter 8, this is a great chapter. Romans 8. And verse 14. Romans 8:14. Now, we've just read in John's Gospel that his sheep know his voice and follow him. Now, here in Romans, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says in verse 14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Let me ask you a question. Are you, forget gender now, but are you a son of God?
Yes.
Well, then you are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. That's what the scripture says. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. If you are a son of God, then you are led by the Spirit of God. Then he goes on in verse 14, he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba Father. That's where we were looking last week. You know, the Spirit brings us into that place of relationship with God. You know, we have that fellowship, that communion. We come to that place where we cry out, Abba. That's intimate. Abba is intimate. This isn't saying Father, which can be an off relationship, a parted relationship, a distant relationship. Abba is very close. It's very personal. It's very intimate.
It's very close to God.
We cry out, Abba, Father.
Abba, Father.
It's not exactly, but the closest we have in the English language is the word daddy. But that's not even close enough. Abba is that very close relationship.
In Urdu, Abba is father. Abba.
Abba.
Yes.
In Urdu.
Some people, yes, in Urdu, same. But in a village, people call our father Abba.
Uh-huh.
And mother call Ammi. Abba. Yes.
Ammi?
Yes.
Ammi is in
mother.
Mother.
So, we have that close relationship, that the Spirit brings us into that close relationship with God the Father.
How privileged we are, because the Muslims don't call, they can't call God Father.
Yes. But it goes on, and this is where I want to get to tonight. In verse 60, he said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You know, these few verses tell us that those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. He does that by bringing us into a fellowship and relationship, a close, intimate relationship with God the Father, so we can cry out, Abba. And he bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now this, to bear witness with our spirit, this word, I'm going to give you the definition of this word, to bear witness. It means to testify, to agree, or confirm. Another definition of this word, bear witness, is to give evidence of the truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives evidence of the truth in our spirit. The inner witness in our spirit. We've just read, again in John's Gospel, that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Now, since we are being led by the Spirit of God, because we are the sons of God, then we should expect the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into the truth. You know, we shouldn't be saying things like, well, I never understand the scriptures when I read it anyway. So what's the point? When we read, we should pray and expect. Don't just hope and think, well, if God wants me to know something, you know, that almost like, que sera, sera sort of thing. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. No, expect God to speak to you. Come approach him with that attitude as you read. Lord, I want to hear from you today. Speak to me. Now bring this word alive to me today. You know, because that's how the Holy Spirit works. He will lead us, he will guide us into the truth of the word. There may be something that you're not quite sure about, and you just want some clarification on it. Well, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to reveal it to you. But don't wait and expect a voice to come from heaven, which a lot of people are doing. You know, well, God never speaks to me. Well, that's because they've never heard an audible voice. They say, well, God never speaks to me. And why is he always speaking to you? Why is he always speaking to somebody else? Well, if we actually sat down and listened and allowed God to speak to us, he will speak. But the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. What he actually does here, he has, this is not the way the Holy Spirit works, he gives us, I'm trying to come up with the right sort of words, but the words I've come up with here are an impression. He might impress in our hearts that something is right or isn't right. Particularly if we hear something or we see something or we're reading something, you might have got to the place, that doesn't sound quite right to me. I don't know if you've ever been in that position where you've been listening to someone speaking, you say, it doesn't ring right. That's the Holy Spirit ministering inside. If you think it doesn't sound right, it's probably not. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Another word I have is a knowing or a sense. You have that sense that something is right or isn't, or this is the right way to go or the right thing to do. Other people use something like a gut feeling. And this is the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Gives us that impression, that sense. But again, it will line up with what God's Word says. He bears witness. Look at it. It says he bears witness with our spirit. He's not talking about the Father or the Son. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We can know the voice of God speaking to us. I want to take you through a few scriptures in them, but first of all, we're going to go to Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, verse 1. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. Now this is the apostle writing. He says, I'm telling you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. This isn't something I've fabricated. He says, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. He says this, my conscience and the Holy Spirit are in communion. They're in one. The Spirit's bearing witness with my conscience, with my spirit. And he goes on and he's delivering his message here. So, allow the Holy Spirit to quicken you, to impress upon you. So when you read something in the Word and it comes alive to you, you know, you'll get that. You may not hear you may hear an audible voice from heaven. And if you do, praise God for it. But it's very rare. The way God works is through His Word and the inner witness of the Spirit. We read and the Holy Spirit quickens it to us. We read something and it'll come alive to us and we'll meditate upon it. You go and look at other scriptures, see, and the Holy Spirit will quicken things and He will impress upon you. I've had, when I've been reading like that, and exactly the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you've read a verse and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, without me looking anything up, the Holy Spirit will quicken to me another scripture. Turn up, not, I don't even have the words of it, it just say go to like Psalm whatever. And I'll turn, and that marries up with what I'm just reading and thinking about. This is the Holy Spirit quickening, bringing scriptures to your remembrance, you've read them obviously, and because you have to have read them for you to be able to remember them. So don't ask the Lord to bring back something to your remembrance if you haven't actually sat down and put it in. Well, the Lord never quickens a scripture to me. Well, have you read the scriptures? Well, no. Well, he's not going to then, is he? He can't bring something back that you haven't put in there. It's the same as Pastor shares the story about the students in the school, you know, studying for the exams. Well, how can you pray that God will help you remember and bring it all back to your remembrance if you haven't actually studied? You've got to put the work in, you've got to put the effort in, you've got to put the groundwork. You've got to put it in, sow the seeds, so it can grow and bring forth fruit. Do you see the farmers going out in the field and looking for seeds and saying that the seeds haven't grown, and they say, well, what did you plant? He said, well, nothing. But they're not good, it's not growing. But if you haven't planted anything, it's not going to grow, is it? You've got to put it in so it can grow and come up. Now, we're going to go to a few scriptures. That was a... got sidelined there. Because the early church, when they were seeking a word of direction from God, the Bible tells us that they had this, what I was saying, this sense, this knowing, this impression from the Holy Spirit. And if you come with me to Acts chapter 15... Acts chapter 15. We're going to read an account. Now, there's a few verses here, but there's only really four or five of them that I want to pick up on. Acts 15. Verse 22. Let me tell you what's happened in the early church up until this point. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And the church began to grow and things began to happen. The church was growing in leaps and bounds. It was being multiplied. We're introduced to a man called Stephen, who is killed he's martyred, he's put to death because of his faith in the Lord Jesus. He's the first Christian martyr. In Acts chapter 9, you have the account of Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, how he was on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians, and the Lord appeared to him. And chapter 10, we see Peter goes to the Gentiles, to the household of Cornelius. And as he's ministering and as he's preaching to them, without any warning, if that's not the right word, but without, he didn't realize, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came down upon these Gentile people, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we have that question, well, if God's baptized them in the Holy Spirit, you know, who can prevent them from being baptized in water? And there was a conflict in the church about this that happened between chapters 10 and 14. And some were saying, well, it's not right that Peter should have gone to the Gentiles. And then they came together. And in chapter 15, we have their conclusion to their conference. So verse 22, then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. So the apostles came to this conclusion. And it pleased them that they were going to send these notable men from the apostolic ministry. And they were going to send them out to amongst the churches, the brothers. And it says they wrote a letter that was to be taken by these men. And this letter said this. It says, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Now here we go. Here's the letter. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. And then it ends. Farewell. Now, we have it recorded in that those few verses. Three times, the same sort of idea. One, in verse 22, it pleased the apostles. With the elders, with the whole church. It pleased them. In verse 25, we read this. It seemed good to us. Then again in verse 28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. What we actually have here are references to this inner witness. They had this sense that things were right. This was the right course of action. This was the right path to take. These things were from God. They're saying it pleased the church because they felt this was from the Lord. It seemed good to us because they felt it came from God. And then in verse 28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, because the Holy Spirit quickened it to them and spoke in their hearts. Now, that's the church here. We see something very similar in the life of the Apostle Paul in chapter 16. So in the next chapter, I've got to press through. In chapter 16, verses 6, Paul is recount. Oh, now here we have the count. The account Luke is writing, and he's giving his report. In chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God in Asia. Now, they had the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. To go to every ethnic group, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But here, the Holy Spirit stops them. And stops Paul. The Holy Spirit forbids Paul and his team to preach the word of God in Asia. Now, let's read on. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. The Holy Spirit did not permit them to go that way. They couldn't go to Asia. When they decided to go a different route, the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go that way either. So, verse 8 says, "So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And at Troas," it says in verse 9, "a vision appeared to Paul in the night. It was a man of Macedonia who stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So here we have the Holy Spirit preventing Paul and his team from going into Asia. Now, I don't necessarily believe that they heard with an audible voice the Holy Spirit saying no. They would have that sense inside that this, actually, no, that's not the right thing to do. Then they tried to go a different route, and that wasn't the right thing to do. And then when they arrived at Troas, Paul has this dream, this vision, and verse 10 tells us that after they'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, because we felt that that was the way the Lord was calling us. The Lord was leading us to preach to the Macedonians.
We see that both of them agreed for them to return. They agreed on it.
Why? Because they had there's something inside that witnessed right to them. This was the right course of action. This was the inner witness of the Spirit. Now, I'm trying to rush through. I've got a few more scriptures I want to read. But come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The second book of Corinthians chapter 2. Just remember what we've just read about Paul not going into Asia. He tried to go to Mysia, but he was prevented from going there as well. So he went down to Troas, and at Troas he had this dream where they felt this was the way the Lord was leading them. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now, Paul was saying he came down to Troas to preach the gospel, and an opportunity was opened up by the Lord. But Paul says, so that he had no rest in his spirit. There was something uneasy in his spirit. Why? Because his brother Titus wasn't there. And he had this urge to go on to Macedonia. You know, that was uneasy. Why? Because this was the Holy Spirit prompting him again. The prompting of the Holy Spirit, telling him to move on, telling him he's got to go on to Macedonia. And in all these instances that we've looked at with the apostles, these are references, I believe, to the Holy Spirit speaking to them, bearing witness with their spirit. Now in Troas, Paul had that vision in the night, that dream inviting him to go over to Macedonia. So here's, in these closing moments, we're just going to look at answer a question. Does God use dreams and visions to speak to us? Well, yes, of course he does. But the primary way God speaks to us is through his word. If you get a dream or you have a vision, it must line up with what God's word says. Don't just dream any old dream and say, well, this is the way the Lord's leading us. If it doesn't line up with what God's word says, then that's not God speaking to you. You know, it wasn't the dream that led Paul. Now that was a means by which the Holy Spirit used. He saw this vision, this man saying, come and over to, and help us. But what they actually did, Paul would have shared that dream with his partner, who he was traveling with, his traveling partner. They would have prayed about it. They would have felt from God that this was the right way. That's their knowing, their sense. That was God speaking to them. When they prayed about it and they sought God about it, then they concluded that the Lord was leading them to go on to Macedonia. So what about other ways, like signs? Well, there are three things I want to look at in the scriptures. And I promise I will be quick. In the Old Testament, when the people wanted to hear from God, they went to the priest. And the priest consulted what they referred to as the Urim and the Thummim, the lights and perfections. Now, you can, there's a reference there if you want to go to it, just to give you the actual names of them, is in Nehemiah 7:65. And the scripture says this in Nehemiah 7, verse 65, it says, the governor said to them that they should not eat of the most holy things until a priest could consult with the Urim and the Thummim. Now, what were these? Well, it's not exactly known amongst scholars. They don't really know what these were or how they were used. But they were part of the breastplate of the priest. They appear to be something like stones or additions to the stones that were the 12 stones in the priestly breastplate. They were worn by the priest, and they were used to give revelation and guidance to the people of God, understanding on matters that they were seeking from the will of God. When they were seeking the will of God for a situation, the priest would consult these whatever they were, stone-like things. How? I don't know. I don't know how they were used. We don't have any information in the scriptures about them. I don't know whether they shone or whether they were like little dice. I haven't got a clue how they were used. But they used these to ascertain the will of God for a situation. In the book of Judges, we'll go there, Judges chapter 6. In the book of Judges, we read about a man called Gideon. And in Judges chapter 6, verse 36, so Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it's dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. I'm going on to verse 40, read 36 through to 40. And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. Now, in an attempt to test the voice of God and to find out if this really was God speaking to him, Gideon put this fleece from a sheep on the ground. And he asked God to confirm his word by, on one occasion, on the first time, it was that if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry in the morning, then I'll know you're speaking to me. And then he said, don't be angry, let me ask you once more. This time I want the fleece to be dry and all the ground around it to be wet. This was a way Gideon tested the voice of God, tested this way. So, we have the Urim and the Thummim that the priest consulted. The fleece that Gideon put out. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 1. Now this is the church. Really before it's the church proper. This is the disciples. In Acts chapter 1. They did something to find out what the will of God was. Because after Jesus ascended to his Father, the disciples, remember he said, says, tarry, to wait in the city of Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high. And while they were waiting, they weren't just sitting around doing nothing. They were praying. They were seeking God. You know, they were... It was impressed upon one of them that they needed to replace Judas. Because Judas, you know, Judas Iscariot, he betrayed, he killed himself after he betrayed Jesus. And they wanted to replace Judas with another apostle. And it says here in Acts 1, verse 26. Well, verse 24 says, they prayed and said, you, Lord, know the hearts of all. This is verse 24. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Verse 26. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. What they actually did is they prayed about it, and I don't know exactly how they do it, but they probably, you know, drew some straws, you know, find out who's got this, who is the one that is going to replace Judas, and they cast lots for them. Now, like these disciples, very often we ask for tangible signs, like the priest would consult the Urim and the Thummim for something tangible. Gideon wanted something tangible. He wanted to see with his eyes the wet fleece or the dry fleece. The apostles cast their lots. They wanted something tangible. And like them, we often look for the same sort of things to direct our spirits. Now, we may not cast lots like the disciples do. We may not draw straws or throw dice or whatever. But we might test God in some ways, asking him to reveal, maybe with the fleece. Give us a sign, Lord. Give us a sign. Show us that this is the way. Now, all of the examples that we've just looked at, the Urim and the Thummim, the fleece, the casting of the... All of these were prior to the day of Pentecost. After Acts chapter 2, there is no mention in the scriptures of any believer or one of the brethren using any type of sign to know the will of God. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us into all truth. They may have had visions and dreams like we read Paul did, but they didn't ask God to show them a sign. Do you remember even Peter when he was on the roof of the house and they saw that sheet being lowered down with all the animals in it, and they heard the voice of God speaking saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He never asked for that tangible sign. The scripture says this. This will be our last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The problem comes when we use signs as a means of discernment. Actually, it's not compatible with the Spirit of God. Because our walk is one of faith. It's not by something we can physically see. Now, you may disagree with me on this, but I believe this is from the scriptures, because I can't find in the scriptures any means, any signs that people have asked God for after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the past I have done it, asked God for signs, show me this. Lord, if you're really leading me this way, you know, let me hear something on the radio. You know, let's a brother come to me and speak to me, or let somebody mention it. Oh, I've done it. until I suddenly came to this point, well, actually, no, I can't see in the scriptures where the believers would ask God, why? Because we have the Holy Spirit, the inner witness. We're led by the Spirit of God. We're led by, we walk by faith in the Word of God, not by things we see physically with our eyes. So, we do not base our hearing from God on tangible things. Why? Because we have the Word of God, which is the primary way God speaks to us. We have the witness of the Spirit. He will impress upon us whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And actually, if we do have any tangible things, they will only confirm what we already know from the Word of God. So if, let me just quickly finish with a story. You know, when I was, long before I ever thought, we ever thought, Jane and I thought about the Lord was leading us to come to Malta. That's about 2 years before we ever even entered our hearts and minds that this is the way God was going to lead us. I was at a meeting, a Christian conference of ministers. I'm part of the IGO fellowship, and I was lying on my bed one afternoon, and God gave me a vision. Now, it meant absolutely nothing to me. But I pondered over it for a little while, a couple of weeks, wondering what I saw some people, asked them their advice. You know, what do you think this vision means? And a lot of people gave me their opinions. But everyone that spoke to me, it didn't ring right inside. I didn't have that sense of peace that was what God was showing me. And so, after a while, I actually forgot about the vision. Didn't forget it, but I pushed it to the back of my... I never gave it any more thought. 2 years later, God began to impress upon Jane and myself about coming here to Malta. And we prayed about it. We sought God. We sought His Word. And I had scriptures that God gave me, which seemed to confirm that this was the right move to make. And we had discouragements as well. You know, things wouldn't go the way we perhaps thought they might. And every time we got a little bit discouraged, I went back to the Word of God, and I think, oh yeah, God, and God would give me a promise. And then one day, quite out of the blue, as we say, I received an email from the Scottish Bible Society. Had no connection with anything I was praying. It was just a regular circular type email that they sent out. Now, on my computer at the time, when I got emails, all I could see was the text. There was no images displayed, obviously for security reasons and because of viruses. I never looked at any image that came in an email. I only ever read text. But this particular one from the Scottish Bibles, you know, I just had that sense inside, the Holy Spirit leading me, just to look at the images on the email. And I opened up this email and I began to read, and it was about Bibles into, because it's the Bibles, sending Bibles here, sending Bibles, doing this in the schools and in Scotland. And I got down to the bottom of the email. And at the bottom of the email was an image. And that image was the exact image that I had in the vision 2 years previous. And do you know what it was about?
Malta?
It wasn't about Malta. But it was answering, the article was exactly about the thing that we had been praying about.
School.
About the school. And I said, yes, Lord. Because, now that was a tangible, but it already confirmed what I already knew.
And they did not push.
I didn't push.
No.
Yeah. I did not push.
Yeah.
It's just
as many did, eh?
And once we got that, then that was it. We settled anyway. I've settled from the day one when first God began to. But that really, from then, that day, we went full steam ahead to put the house on the market, getting out here. And we're still here. Amen. That's where we're leaving.